took a vacation, like so many people did, and they were in that tip of Thailand that was so devastatingly ravaged in that country. But his family had gone to the other side of that little tip that was there, and did not even hardly know that anything had happened. I think that it isn't a matter just that God has protected certain people and not other people. But I certainly was joyful and thankful for the hand of God in that particular situation. And that's one of the thousands of things that have happened. It, as I was preparing this week, and then this awful kind of thing happened, I thought the title that I was preparing for this service is, "Where is this joy to the world?" It's kind of appropriate, actually, when you stop and think of it. For there will be many people who will have no idea or have no option to even think about joy in this kind of a circumstance. When the Christmas song, "Joy to the World," is sung, there are many people in our world and in our churches even who inwardly rebel. They say, how can people sing joy to the world in the midst of terror and violence and broken families and rebellious children and on and on and on? Where is this joy to the world? The reason we ask that question is because we have confused the meaning of the word joy. It has been terribly twisted. Terribly twisted. The idea of joy is used in all kinds of ways nowadays that are not consistent with what the word joy means. I remember being in a mall just about a year ago, and it was just before Christmas, and I'm one of those persons that doesn't plan ahead for Christmas, you know, and I realized I had only 2 days, and I had to get stuff for my wife and things like that. I don't know if men are all like that, but certainly I had to admit that is true. And I was rushing down from one place to the other to get everything I needed. And I saw this sign, big and above everything else. And it said in big, big letters, "Give the gift of instant joy." And I got a little closer and I realized that it was the lottery kiosk. You see what I mean about joy being messed up? I was driving my car, this is about a year and a half ago, or two even, and I was driving along, and I have the radio on, I'm going along, and I heard this guy come on, and he had one of those beautiful, deep voices, you know, that I wish I had, and he had this voice that just makes you feel like melting in his arms, you know. You know that kind of a guy? Well, and we won't ask you to answer that question. But he said, "It makes a rich man a generous man. It's perfume named joy." Ah, see, don't you think? I mean, you're twisting things a little bit, aren't they? Joy is the right kind of perfume. And you got that man when you've got that like perfect for you. One more illustration. There was a commercial. And again, I like to listen to commercials because it kind of tells you what's going on in the world. And it kind of makes you sick at your stomach, but nonetheless, this guy's commercial, and this, again, this announcer, warm, inviting, and he tells you, what a wonderful blessing for Christmas, and that you might have a wonderful, and he goes on like that, brought to you by the Liquor Board of Canada. That's joy for some people. Or they think that is joy. But we have confused joy with happiness. The word happiness comes out of the idea of a happening. So when you get the right happening, then you are happy. But if you don't get the right happiness, then you're a miserable wretch, or some such thing. And that kind of picture is what we have. And we have bought into this whole kind of thing. That you see, happiness depends on this. The right gift that you got for Christmas. Some of you got a gift, and you said, oh, thank you very much. And you thought to yourself, what am I going to do with this thing? And you don't have to tell anybody, but I mean, it's the way you felt. Or you have a good meal and you feel happy. And then you feel sick because you ate too much and you weren't so happy. Joy has an entirely different source. The source of joy comes from God. That's what the scripture says. That's what this passage of scripture that was read for you a few minutes ago is all about. And so you have verse 10, for example. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great, what? Joy. Great joy that will be for all the people. That's the intention of God. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Where does our joy come from? The birth of the Christ of our Lord. And that's where joy comes into our hearts. So we need to capture now, what is this real joy that comes to transform us and constantly brings joy to our soul. We don't usually think of the power of God and joy at the same time. The characteristics, the qualities of God, the attributes of God, we think of power, God's power. We think of holiness, purity. We think of justice, and we think of all kinds of things. But we usually don't, first at least, think of God and joy. But the reality is that here in the scripture in Luke chapter 2, there is this picture of joy. God expressed his joy, however, way before that. If we went back to Genesis chapter 1, and especially in about the verse 30, 31, you'll find that God looks at everything he's made. And he said, this is good. This is good. God, in his creative presentation of the world, it is very good. You have the same kind of God's expression of joy about heaven. I mean, heaven, I don't think we've ever caught up to heaven or even gotten close to it. I think of heaven and I think of the book of Revelation, and there's these verses in verse 11. It would be a great chapter to read the whole thing, but let me just call your attention to verse 11 of chapter 5. And here's what he says. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creature and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and the Lamb be praised and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Sound pretty wild almost, doesn't it? Almost sort of like I wouldn't call it some kind of a rock concert, but it's more like a rock concert than a church service, isn't it? Everybody's shouting and praising and going on. At least most of the churches I have served haven't been quite that ecstatic. But God is preparing a place for us that will be full of joy, where the atmosphere will just cry out that we will express that kind of love and joy in our souls. We need to recognize that real joy is also and fundamentally is expressed in the birth of Jesus Christ himself. That's the ultimate birth. And you have in the Luke passage that is expressed to us here in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" Here's the picture, expressing in the birth of Jesus the glorious joy of God. I don't know if you have had a little baby recently, even if you haven't, if you've had your own children and you can remember that far back. I think of my kids, and I start thinking back when this 185-pound man, one of my boys, here he is, you know, and all that, and I think of the day he was born, and I think of that little child. And the joy of that birth, that healthy birth. And so in the birth of Jesus Christ, how much more the joy of the Lord penetrates our soul. And the real joy is one of God's gifts to us. He gives us joy. And that joy is found in him. And so when we have him, we have joy. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is the strength of his people." The joy of the Lord. Not how much money they've got, but the joy of the Lord is the strength of his people. God gives us that glorious gift. In John chapter 15, it says, I have told you, Jesus is speaking, "I have told you this so that my," what? "My joy may be in you." Jesus is saying, I want you to have the same kind of joy in your life that I have. Now, how much joy do you think God had? How much joy do you think Jesus had? And he wants to pour that into you and pour that into me. And so that we are living out the glorious joy of the Lord. The list of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy, among other things. That picture, the real joy, is one of God's gifts. It is a gift of God, that the very character of God may be implanted in our souls, and that his joy would droop all over us, drip all over us, maybe better, and penetrate our souls. so that whenever something around us is not good, and there are always those kinds of things, we have in us the joy of the Lord. Do you have him? Do we allow him to express his joy in us? I think we don't do it very often. When we don't get the joy that just bubbles up in our souls. Not because just our newborn baby is in our arms, which brings joy, but rather we have the joy of the Lord Jesus, who himself is joy, and penetrates and pours into our lives his joy. We need to recognize, how do I receive and maintain this joy? You need to understand that joy is wrapped up in the person of Jesus. And so that our confusion lies often in our grasping for gifts instead of the giver. And we can have all kinds of gifts from God, and we are so glad about the gifts. But gifts kind of come and go. And we need to recognize that it is not the gift that we need to penetrate our soul. It's the giver. It's Jesus, our Savior, who wants to not only take away our sins, but to fill us with the joy of the Lord in our hearts and in our lives, in the way we live. This has been expressed in all kinds of wonderful ways. One brilliant French philosopher, atheist, came to a place where he began to examine the Word of God. His name was Blaise Pascal. And he came to faith, and it was a glorious transformation. When he died, which was not too many years after he came to Christ, they found that in his coat, there was a little place back here, like I have a little place back there, and it had been sewn up, completely sewn up. And so somebody opened it up, and when they opened it up, there was a little piece of paper where he had written these words when he had come to faith in Christ. The year of grace, 1654, Monday, November the 23rd. O just Father, the world has not known you, but I know you. Joy, 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 tears of joy. Have you ever been so happy you started blubbering? Let it blubber over. Here's a picture. This is this brilliant philosopher who has this simple, glorious reality that Jesus Christ comes in and allows the joy of the Lord to penetrate his soul. That is the way God wants to transform us. He wants us to have not the joy of the right kind of music, even Christian music, but the person that we're singing about. So when we sing about him, the music takes on a whole new picture because he is penetrating it, not just the right keys and all those kinds of things. I love to hear good music. I don't sing very loud because I don't want people to, to spoil the whole thing. But I have the reality that the joy of the Lord can be in my heart and can pour over, and I can rejoice in him. We need to receive our Savior, Jesus. We need to receive him as our Savior. We need to see him as the one who cancels our debts of sin and gives the joy of forgiveness. When our sins are canceled, that's not so we can just walk around now, but that we should have the joy of being forgiven. He sets us free from bondages, and he gives us the joy of freedom from our sins. I thank God for that. I remember my rebellious days in my teenagers years. And I remember those. And I can think about them now and not feel guilty. Though I would be ashamed. I'm not guilty. I'm free. Everyone is canceled. Everyone. And I have the opportunity to have the joy of the Lord penetrating my soul, free from guilt. What a wonderful thing to be free from guilt. And to have that taken away from us. We have no more pain. We have joy. He fills us with the intimacy of his own presence. You see, when we receive Jesus, we receive everything that he has. And so that he penetrates our lives. And that's why we have that joy. C.S. Lewis, absolute atheist, who began to evaluate Christianity, mainly to tear it apart. And he got surprised. He got surprised. He found out that it was true. And here's this brilliant British man who throws his heart and life into the hands of Jesus Christ. And he entitled his book that he wrote after that, Surprised by Joy. Surprised by Joy. Atheist, now a Christian. Surprised by the joy of God. You know what? We need to be preaching more about the joy of God. There are a lot of people who desperately need joy. A lot of Christians who need joy too, and they haven't taken care of it. They haven't reached out and taken it as theirs. Isaac Watts, another one. You know some of the hymns that Isaac Watts has written 260 some years ago. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. That's real joy. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we may live with your joy in our hearts. Your joy in the midst of our struggles, even our pain. I pray, dear Father, that you would invade our lives, that you would pour in your glorious gift of joy, and that we might lean upon you for joy, not the happenings around us, but your joy. Thank you for your presence. May this year express that joy. For your name's sake, I pray.